Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we're talking about managing fear and talking about the different chakra levels, I think, on today's show, which fear can affect and how to work with that fear in order to subside it and function more wholly in life. We do have a caller in the queue we're going to get to in just a moment, but first want to invite our callers and listeners to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I think that's the name of our profile. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, because we will know that you want a reading. 562-596-7818. Is the number to call after the show. So for more conversation than the radio show allows, you can call that number. Let's bring on our first caller, 936 area code, who just pressed 1. Hi.
Hi. Hello?
Hi. Hi.
Sorry, I had to take you off the speaker.
Yeah, please do, because we can hardly hear you.
Yes. Okay, I did.
Okay, great. Take truck right into your receiver, because it's still pretty low, the volume. What's your name?
Amara.
Mara, M-A-R-A? Or
yes.
Amara?
Amara, yeah, A-M.
A-M-A-R-A?
Yes.
Amara. Have we spoken with you before?
Yeah, a couple times, like once a year, usually.
Yeah.
Usually I'm busy and I can never catch a show.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry about that. Well, you know, you obviously not listening to archives, you won't be able to call the show, but we do have archives on iTunes and here on Blog
yes.
Talk Radio, so you can still listen, even if you're not able to get a reading. But we're glad you made it today. Can you remind us of your birth date?
3/17/82.
82. 31/4. Okay. And what's your question, Amara?
I don't really have one, but I was listening when I was thinking this show is kind of, I guess, relatable. I was recently laid off, and I'm making kind of a risky move to instead of just jumping right back in and going and getting another job and working 40 plus hours on my feet that
right.
I want to go back to school, but that leaves me with like very little income for like probably what 6-7 months before, you know, I can, before I'm done, and worst case scenario, part-time job. But I just, you know, it's that fear that's the wrong move.
What are you trying to do again? I'm sorry, say that again, because it's hard to hear you. You quit your job and you want to do what?
I was laid off.
Laid off.
Yeah, I was laid off. You know, we all get our severance packages, but they're never as good as what we had. And I'm taking a risky move. Instead of jumping right back into work, I am going to go back to school for 6 months. And that leaves me, you know, I can live off a little bit with what I have, but it's still kind of risky not to jump back into that, you know, comfort zone where
what are you
I know
going
I'm going
to
have income.
So you're going back to school,
for,
you said. 6 months.
Yeah, esthetician.
Oh, esthetician. So you want, do you want to have your own business? Are you going to work somewhere?
Yeah, I would, well, eventually I would like to have my own healing center. Really into facial, that I've been making my own stuff for, I don't know, over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I just realized that I don't know why I'm not doing it more professionally. So I want to go get certified so I can at least have that certification to back me up.
Okay.
I love to work at a spa until I figure out, you know, my next plan. But it's like one step at a time.
Well, the interesting thing, Amara, is that your karmic number is 31, which is a 4, but 31 is not divisible by 4. So actually, you're coming up on age 36, which is a cycle of your master number. It's the ninth cycle of your master number 4. So you're turning 36, right, in March, just to make sure I did that math correctly.
I am, yes.
So that signifies a change, and it sounds like, I mean, from what you're saying to us, there is a change going on with your career. So that's, I mean, in line with the code in your numbers. So I would say probably a good idea that you're going back to school and trying to get your esthetician's license. Obviously, what did you do before? What was your job that you got laid off from?
Really? I worked in fine jewelry. So it was a retail and jewelry. I did that and with surrogacy. And that's what I've just been doing for the past 4 years.
For the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, since the age of 31, which was also, you know, a big change for you.
That was another change, yes.
Yeah. So that's, and what did you do prior to that, just out of curiosity?
Prior to that, I was married, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and I worked at a home, and I ran a legally operated business, bakery business from home. Pretty good
okay,
at
and
it.
What
but
about,
when,
are you married anymore, or did you?
No. Yeah, we divorced, and it's forever.
And when was the divorce?
About 4 years ago.
4 years ago, so a divorce at age 31.
Yeah.
And now you're having another change in the career. Well, did you want to say something?
Yeah,
I'm sure you do.
You know, Amara, your karmic number suggests all these changes at the age of 31. When you got your job in the jewelry business, you get divorced. And incidentally, your birth date does suggest divorce within the birth date due to the 11 factor.
On both sides.
You have an 11 with your 317, and you have an 11 in your 1982.
And her karmic number is in her first two numbers, 31.
Yeah.
3-1. But anyway, go ahead.
So all of that is somewhat confined to the code of your birth date in terms of what was going on and how it happened and at what time. Now, you making a change at 36 from you went bakery to jewelry, and now you want to do facials and work in a spa and be certified. All of that is appropriate to your journey. All of that's appropriate to training. Incidentally, what state are you in?
Texas.
So,
yes.
Well, I would imagine that if you were working, I would think it would be my guess that your salary may have been anywhere between $25,000 and maybe $40,000, somewhere in there, within that range, in your previous years of work. Is that about true when you were in the jewelry business and things like that?
Yeah, 25 and then plus my surrogacy, that made it a bit more.
Yeah.
So that falls within the range, she said.
So what can happen? You have a severance package and you're going to be certified, and you probably should start to talk to spas now about doing something, getting in there, so that they get to know you and can depend on you. Do something, sweep floors, I don't know, just do something.
Can you do that while you're in school? Do you have time to work?
That's the thing, that right now, no, but I will probably about 4 months. I'm 7 months pregnant, so finding a job was gonna be really difficult, being that there's also some of a high risk that I might It won't be preterm labor. It'll just be a little earlier because
okay.
she's so,
so
big.
So she's 7 months pregnant. She's so, going to have a baby
yeah.
at age 36, which is part of the 4 year.
And where's
it's
the file?
It's not my where's baby, so I can go right back to work as soon as I'm done. But
what? So you're a surrogate?
Uh-huh.
She's a
yes.
surrogate.
Oh,
so you're
surrogate.
Getting. So you're getting. You're. That's why you're probably able to go back to school because you're getting some money for this, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, so that's not a big, but still, it's an event, so it is, you know,
okay,
significant
so,
in terms
so that,
of the
that's assuring
numerology.
You to go back to school, so you don't have to worry about that. So then, you'll probably, so what is school, about 6 months to get certified?
It is. Yeah, six
uh-huh.
months, as long as you stay on track. Yeah.
Well, you have to stay on track. Don't say
exactly.
as long. You just have to be determined, Amara. And just stay on track.
That's what I tell people. They're like, it's 6 months. I was like, yeah, if you stay on track, you can. It's 6 months.
Well, that's
but
what you
it,
do. You just say,
yeah.
You just say, I'm going to be on track. It's going to take 6 months, and you don't let anything stop you. Then what
exactly.
I see, probably, I would assume in Texas, if you're pretty successful, you're working at a spa, you're paying a little bit of the rent, you might pull in, once you get your clientele going and things like that, you'll pull in anywhere between 28 and 35,000, but you'll be doing something you love, and it doesn't mean that it won't go up higher, but that's probably where it will settle for a while. Once you start building your clients and you pay everything off, probably you'll be making somewhere between 28 and 35, and then I see that you'll be doing this for at least 7 years, at least 7 years, which would put you to basically 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. Around 43, 44, you'll probably start to think, okay, do I want to keep doing this or not? But you don't have to worry about that. That will be a decision you'll make after. But you'll do it for about 7 years till about the age of 44. That's your master number times 11. And you'll make about anywhere between 28 to 35. In other words, you'll be able to live and do what you like, and maybe you'll get lucky and make more. I don't think you'll make less. So I don't know if that answers your question, your immediate question you're asking us. And I'm also seeing a puppy coming into your life. At some point, you have a dog.
Okay.
Do you have any pets now?
No, I have a cat, but it's not living with us. We went through that hurricane, Harvey, and
yeah.
we had to relocate. All this other stuff is so horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
So we left, is that a friend's house, a friend's mother's house? And they, you
Are
know,
you more
their
a cat
cats.
Person or a dog?
Wait, was she saying something?
Actually, it's neither. I'm not really, I don't mind either way. I'm that big. I have three kids. They're my animals. But they're the ones who are more, they want
to. So you're more geared towards children than pets is what you're saying.
Yes. Well, just.
What is, I'm sorry, what's
a
the last
would
thing
be
you
more responsible. Adding a pet would just be more.
More
you
responsibility.
Know, someone else I would have to feed.
Huh.
And yes. I'm not
so
really, it's either.
And you're not able to take care of the pet you currently have because of whatever circumstances
yes.
of the hurricane.
Yes,
we
had to relocate
and
smaller.
It's not important, Amara. It came in as a symbol. I don't know. It's not that important. It's not.
Maybe
you
your kids will start asking for a
did
dog.
Your,
who knows?
Your parents?
Yeah,
anybody?
They always do.
Oh, the kids ask for dogs? They ask
yeah,
for
they
pets.
Do.
Oh, maybe that's it. You know, that's not the point of it.
No, yeah, that's just, we're getting sidetracked, but it's,
yeah.
you know, but it's fine because I'm sure she appreciates any additional information
yeah,
that we can provide.
If you're concerned about, you know, if you're going to make it, yeah, you're going to make it. Are you going to be able to hold out? You seem to be calling because you're worried about, you know, can I hold out? I got laid off. Can I hold out? Can I do this? Yeah. I mean, there's nothing
yeah.
there's nothing in the vibrational field that says no. So the answers and the visions we're seeing in the future look positive. So you're going to make it.
Okay.
Yeah, keep in touch with us. It sounds like, you know, you're going to have a little time I mean, you're going to be in school, but maybe there'll be an opportunity to call within the next 6 months and let us know how things are going. And we can, you know, continue to work on the energy for you as we do with all of our callers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I was like, because I never had time before.
Yeah. And then, so you might have a little extra time.
You know, there's
now.
Always that fear when you make that step, like, okay, so should you go back into another 40-hour job or that you don't like, because it takes you, because I'm a single mom. So, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. And then, or if I can just hold off, live on a really tight budget for 6-7 months to finish school. You know, make sure that you're making the right step. Not like
well,
a risky step, but a safe step at the same time.
Amara, you used the word fear, and you didn't catch our last show, but we were
talking
about the levels of fear.
Which we will be continuing today.
Yeah, so I was that's what I was reading, or that's why I was going to call in to listen.
But, yeah, she mentioned at the beginning of
yours,
the show.
Well, yours is an irrational fear. You have an irrational fear. A rational fear is jumping out of an airplane without a parachute.
That's rational.
You know, big grizzly bear is coming at you and wants to eat you. That's rational fear.
Yes.
Irrational fear is being afraid of succeeding. It's irrational. Your fear that you're expressing is not valid because it's not a real fear. You're creating a fear out of nothing. You're creating a fear because you're apprehensive. You don't know what's going to happen, but it's not rational. Do you understand the difference? Rational fear.
Yes.
Someone's pointing a gun at your head and they're going to kill you. Irrational fear. I'm afraid that I might not make it at my job. That's irrational. You're creating a fear out of nothing. So you have to use positive thinking.
Okay, Amara. Well, we're going to take our next caller, but like I said, check in with us and let us know how things are going for you, okay?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you. All right, let's bring on 330. 330, hello.
Hi, this is Kim.
Hi.
Hi. Who's
it? Kim from Michigan?
Yeah.
Not Michigan. The Midwest,
Ohio,
right?
Yes.
Hi. Give us your birthday again, Kim.
4/15/71.
How's your foot?
It's better. I'm back to work.
Good.
I wonder if you could check a gentleman's birthday to see how it
would
be.
No problem. Okay,
11,
go ahead.
11/10/69.
11/10/69. Okay. And you're 4/15/71?
Right.
Okay. So she's 29/11/2. Did I do that wrong? 28/10/1. I was thinking, I did not remember her being into it. I added wrong. Okay. So he's in a, well, 3/13. And he's the same.
Yeah.
You guys are the same number.
Good or bad? Good.
So. Well, who is this guy? Can you give us a little bit of background?
I work in a public place where people come into my counter, and he's been a customer for years and years, like 5-6 years I've known him.
Okay.
Divorced, 3 kids, custody battle. So we're both kind of alone.
Okay.
He's asked me out in the past. And I said no.
I'm sorry, say that last thing again.
He's asked her out.
He has asked me out. Yeah.
Okay. And you've said no, I guess?
I did say no because he has the kids then.
Uh-huh.
But now he doesn't. She has them full-time.
Okay.
He has the kids full-time?
He had the kids, but now she has the kids full-time, and that's been a final custody arrangement?
Not final. They're still in court.
You're still in court. So it's undecided because obviously, you know, what you're expressing is that you didn't want to get involved because of the fact that he had children in his custody.
Correct.
So it's possible that they could be returned to his custody, in which case, if you get involved, that might present an issue, correct?
Yeah, I don't think we'll have him that much. Maybe only weekends now instead of as much as he did.
I mean, what I would offer here, obviously there's a karmic connection. You can see their birth dates. I mean, you guys are the same karmic and master number. Your days are interchangeable. So your one to his five becomes his. I mean, sorry, your day, your one to his zero becomes his day. There's obviously a karmic connection, but I would caution against getting involved. I mean, I would be very cautious getting involved with the person who has children if you are not a person who wants to have children and accepts them fully into your life. But it depends on the seriousness of the relationship, how serious you want to get with this guy. Are you looking for just a companion to spend time with, or are you looking for someone to share your life with? What do you think, Neil?
Well, he's, you know, I mean, he, you know, life goes on. He had a divorce, a messy divorce, a custody battle. He's attracted to you. There's some connection in the energy field between the two of you. There's a past life connection, in other words, Kim. You put some contingencies to the immediate connection with him, which might have been a karmic requirement you were going through about. Maybe there was even something deeper going on, because he had to have some kind of clarity and some kind of openness in his life before he could actually attach to you. That might have been somewhat karmically induced. But he's drawn to you. You've obviously said yes, so no one's put a gun to your head. You're drawn to him. Could this be a meeting of the mind that becomes a meeting of the heart, that becomes a meeting of the soul? But quite possibly. What I do see that's really kind of strange at the moment is, it's odd, but it could, so don't worry, it doesn't have to be, but it is still a prediction in pencil. I see you moving into a house with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what that means is that ultimately it could get to that place, at least as a psychic. I like to call him, it's not in ink, it's in pencil, but it's psychic.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, in terms of the kids, what's your hesitation? Because if you move into a house, go ahead.
I hesitated before because they were still young. They were still going to base practice and all that, Girl Scouts, all that. Now, fast forward 5-6 years later, they're teenagers. We're not going to have them that much. You know, weekends maybe. Right now it would be supervised, if anything. I think I'm in a better place to handle it.
You're in a better place to handle it.
Well, have you met the kids? Can you at least be around them?
He's not even around them right now. But yes,
no.
I've met them.
Right, but...
Your mindset.
Your mindset. I think that could be good.
Okay, yeah. No, the two of you, your two of your master numbers together become an 11, which is his month. I'm making, okay, so we're, so between Kristen and I,
God,
Kristen,
you know what?
Between Kristen, I, and Elmer Fudd,
jeez.
Between, you know, we're thinking that there's going to be a relationship. That's where it's going.
Okay.
I think that's great news. I would just, you know, prepare yourself for being involved with kids. I mean, you know.
Does any of you two? Well, my English today.
Good thing we're not teaching.
I sound like a Elmer Fudd today.
This has been a weird morning. Pickle under the chair.
You have any wabbits in your
house? I used to, actually.
Do either of you, that's proper English. I think.
Glad you're doing a self-check.
Yeah. Have a home. Or you both rent?
We both have a home.
Okay. Well, who would be more... If you were to go into the future and determine that two of you are going to move in together, just for fun, who would move into whose home?
He already has room set up for the kids with their old stuff and their good stuff. So I think that the kids would be better off staying where they knew before. So
yeah.
I would probably live with him.
Would you be willing to sell your home? I mean, this is jumping way in the future, obviously, but.
I'm not attached to this as a forever home. So if we made modifications. Yeah, why not? You know, like a fence from the dog.
Do you have equity in it, or do you have equity in your home?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and you could even rent it out. So renting out a house is a problem. You know, you don't know who your tenants are. You have all kinds of problems, but sometimes it's profitable. But anyways, that's why I think, do you think there's any hint that you could be falling in love with him?
Well,
I don't know.
I really, really like him. He's always been really kind and sweet.
But it's,
I don't know about love yet. I don't know.
Yeah, you haven't even gone on a date, really, have you?
Oh, they haven't?
Not official date.
Right. They haven't even gone on a date.
I'm too far in the future. Was anybody involved in the law, in a law practice in your life or in his life that you know of?
I don't know his family that well, but he's just in all this court and custody stuff with her.
Well, by custody, that we already know. Anybody law connected to you, a friend even?
No, a bank.
You worked at a bank?
Oh, my godmother's husband worked for a law firm, but he's all the way in Arizona.
That doesn't matter.
Well, I don't care if he's, you know, in Honolulu. It doesn't matter. That's the answer. That's the vibe.
So there's a so that's a validation.
I think this might turn into a romance.
And that's what, you know, we expressed on previous shows, is that a romance was coming and there were some other guys.
Oh, we did.
Just one, yeah. And one other question, Kim, are you back to work?
I'm back to work, yes.
Great. Well, that's good to know. Post office.
Post office.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a customer, comes in all the time.
Well, this is good.
I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say, Neil, before we move on to the next caller?
Well, there's two things we know about him. He's a mailman. He's a male and he's a man.
He's male man, not a male. And she's a male woman.
So far you have a connection with me in regards to your business.
Right.
Okay,
so hopefully the situation with the children will move forward smoothly for you. I mean, they are older. That can be good. It can also be challenging with teenagers. But, I mean, we're not even there yet. They haven't even got out of the date.
Well, you're calling psychics, so, you know, we're supposed to be able to
see
the future. And you're asking us a question.
Curious.
Yeah.
Whether
did you just recently have your hair done or change your hair?
Colored.
Your hair. You had it colored. Well, how would I know that? I don't have any television.
Okay. So another validation. That's good. Kim, you're going to say something?
I was just questioning because he was the first gentleman that came in and whether there was someone else and to keep this one just as a friend. But now that romance is here. I know.
I wouldn't keep it as a friend. I wouldn't keep him as a friend if there's a potential for romance and you really like this guy and you can deal with the fact that he has children and be involved in that level, then explore it. If someone else comes in, I mean, you know, someone else will come in. I mean, you're not committed to him right now. There's no commitment.
Don't worry about that, Kim. If someone else is coming in, the overriding wave of that person will overwhelm this person anyways. Approach it that way. Might be a given later. You're not going to be alone. Okay. I don't think you're going to be alone. So right now the focus is on this guy and see how this work with this first.
And let us know. Keep in touch. I'm glad you called today. We're glad you called today, but it's good to check in periodically and let us know how things are going. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we had a call, but they just hung up.
Well, we can't help it.
Yeah.
People don't want to hold on.
Yeah.
Well, the idea of fear, we were talking about the concept of fear and where we put it in our energy.
Mm.
Because, like I said, we were talking, if it's immediate fear, we don't have to put it anywhere.
Anywhere, Scott. Huh? What is wrong
anywhere.
With you? No, you said we don't have to put it anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. Well, some people do put it in their wares.
Gosh.
Immediate fear comes to us with such an urgency that it usually hits our heart chakra. Our heart responds immediately and it starts beating hard, and then it couples in a split second with our brain because we have that fear that we're going to die or we're in immediate danger.
Right. And it also, I would say, hits third chakra. We were talking about that. You were saying
gut in your stomach. Well,
yeah.
Anxiety.
Well, I don't know. Butterflies happen when there's anxiety, yes. But
the thing, you see, the stomach, it was interesting because the stomach chakra gives you a little bit of time to think about it.
I know. You were saying you get indigestion.
I'm going to knock you on the head. The thing is, you get indigestion. Now, God, you know what? Let's start. Rewind. You get a pit in your stomach.
You get butterflies.
You get more anxiety in your stomach.
I don't know.
Yeah, you get more anxiety in your
stomach. I don't know. When I get fear, there's fear in my when I am in fear, I mean, anxiety is connected to fear.
But you got to think about it first.
You're talking about the immediate response of fear
in
terms of...
When you're startled and you're definitely afraid something hit you, the first thing is going to be you're in shock. You usually freeze a little bit. You give that funny expression on your face. Your hands go out
they can get clammy.
Your fingers are spread out like you're ready for defense, and your heart starts beating, and you're trying to catch your breath, and of course that's going to be connected to your brain, so your brain's involved. If you're thinking, oh my God, someone's coming today at 4 to throw me out of my house, now you can get a pit in your stomach. Now it's anxiety.
Okay.
And the anxiety and the beating heart works its way down to the third chakra, and you start to have a pit in your stomach. You start to get really nervous in your pacing and stuff like that. When you're that immediate fear, when fear is when immediate fear is accompanied by apprehension, like a guy that's on death row and he's going to die at 4 o'clock and he knows it, but it's not like right in his face at the very moment, then it becomes a little bit more fear with a mental space of thinking about it. And that produces anxiety, and that goes into the third chakra as well.
Okay, so we're dealing with the fourth and third chakras. That's where we're going to leave off.
Third and sixth.
And sixth. Sorry, third and sixth. So we're going to pause there, take this caller, and then get back to it. 480. Hello. Caller, are you there? Okay.
So,
I'm going to disconnect, and if they call back, go ahead. So we're dealing with 3, 4, and 6.
Yeah, because we're trying to think of, you know, people, when people say the word fear, it's constructive to know exactly what kind of fear you're talking about. I mean, people will know what kind of fear they're talking about, but I think some people classify anxiety as immediate fear, or the dread of something, or the uncertainty of something, and they call it fear.
Well, but I mean, if we refer back to one of our previous callers, who were we talking to? Was it Amara? We were talking about fear that is not legitimate fear. It's legitimate to be afraid if you're jumping out of a plane without a parachute, but it's not legitimate to have fear about, you know, succeeding. So we classify it as fear, I mean, in terms of our dialogue, not anxiety. So we're generalizing
here.
But what we're doing
by calling it fear, which should be more I'm afraid than fear. Fear should be classified as immediate energy. It's immediate fear. But what we've done with the word is we've turned it into to mean certain things. It means being afraid, which is not the immediacy of fear. I'm afraid something might happen. It hasn't happened.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
if we look up the root of afraid.
And then what we tend to do is we tend to use the word apprehension as fear. Now, of course, anyone can twist it and
right.
say, well, I'm going to put fear to anything. I have a right to feel that way.
Right, but I mean...
But the terminology of fear is an immediate sense of
well,
doom.
Well, being afraid, according to the online etymology dictionary, is impressed with fear, fearful. So, I mean, it's the condition of being afraid, fearful.
Impressed with fear. No... It is not fear itself, because if you...
No, it's not fear itself, but it is...
You've got to make a distinction.
There is a distinction, but we're talking about managing fear, and most people aren't, you know, in walking through life with a gun to their head. So in terms of fear and how people manage it, we're talking about being afraid and how this gets into our everyday life, not,
well,
you know, these dire situations.
No, it's not a matter of how many people have immediate fear. It's a matter of defining the word properly. And if we're going to use the word properly and define it as its proper term, then we have to keep the word separate, because it's
well,
right,
then we
it
should.
Impacts the shock.
You're right.
System.
Then if we're gonna define it and use it properly, then we have to rewind to our conversation about fear with another caller and reformulate our sentence. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
You have to, because if you
well, then
induce,
it was
if
used
you
wrong
fear,
in that case.
If you induce fear in a chakra that's not classically defined as fear, you're going to hurt that chakra more than you should.
Obviously.
It's like telling
that's the
a
reason
child,
we're talking about this.
It's like telling a child, don't touch that hot cup, as opposed to slapping him as hard as you can and saying, don't touch that cup. Everything has a degree of a discipline to it. And so if we misuse the word fear as something that encompasses all forms of anxiety, apprehension, doubt, we no longer know what fear is. We haven't classified it properly. And that means that any one of our chakra systems that we put this word to is going to have the full impact
of fear. I understand.
And you're going
that.
To overwhelm. You're going to overcompensate the ability of that chakra to handle that amount of fear. Think about people who work themselves up to such a state. We've got clients who work themselves up into such a state of fear from originating from just a state of anxiety. They talk themselves into fear. And what they've done is they created more fear than they actually need on a rational level. So it's absolutely true, because chakras are delicate. They're durable and they're there. They're eternal. But they're delicate in terms of how they connect to what? Our brain, the processes of our thinking.
And our emotions, obviously.
Yes. Our emotions, which really derive
from
our brain. But the emotions is like the syrup. It's like the serum that seeps out of the brain and then flows into all the chakras and makes them spin this way, that way, shuts them down, closes them up, produces such tension in them that it's like a washing machine that's shaking off balance. We have that problem sometimes. Our washing machine will go off balance and we're looking at it going, what the heck? Balanced to us. But, you know,
well,
but it can be a small
problem.
Thing like a coin.
Probably
something
is a coin.
Or one thing is too damp. Because it's not that the state of the washing machine is in a state of fear or a state of, okay, we've got to go repair it. It's an adjustment, because we're saying, oh, it's not so bad as it was.
Well, I mean, perhaps a more apt title for the show would have been managing anxiety in the chakras so it doesn't get to the point of fear, because...
No, not really.
Well,
we want to define fear and give it its full credit in terms of its pure definition. Fear is immediate. Fear is predominantly visible. It isn't something that is out there where then you can say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid there's a tornado coming and I'm afraid. Now the tornado's hitting your house and you're spinning around. That's fear. And we really have to be kind of religious about the way we define terms, because God knows the corruption of the English language is not only eminent, it's as durable as it can be, and it continues to be. So there's nothing wrong with creatively producing a language and being creative with words. But when you misuse a word and corrupt it into meaning something else, of course, that's reification. You mean something, you make it mean whatever you want it to mean.
How would language evolve if that wasn't going on, you know?
Well, it does. It language is an obscure thing, you know, and one word doesn't mean the same to everybody. You know, one person says justice and the other one says that's injustice.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we can debate the use of words, but we're not getting into a social debate here. We're not getting into a debate of equality or inequality. We're using, first of all, just the purity of what a word is. And in this case, the word fear, as it connects to chakra systems. I've seen people use that word incorrectly. And
well, we just did on the radio. Just as a reminder, we just used it improperly.
What it does is it corrupts the chakra. Now, you can talk somebody down from this, quote, fear attitude, and their chakras feel better, and they go, oh, thanks for talking to me, I feel better now. Then that wasn't fear. You know, if a grizzly bear is killing you, and I go, well, let me talk you down while it's killing you, do you feel better now? They're going to go, no, that's fear. Fear is almost irreversible. It is eminently death. Fear is a strong word. But when you have something that people call fear, if you can talk somebody down, really,
it hasn't reached the plateau of fear. Okay.
So what we're doing is putting the fear on the top crest of what the word really means. And
but,
what it means to a chakra, what
right.
people should understand that you can control your chakra system by not saying certain words.
Okay. But I think it's notable that even anxiety can corrupt a chakra before the state of fear, you know, before the state of actual fear, if we're being so strict about the definition.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's
anxiety, depression, apprehension,
anything.
Being afraid can corrupt a chakra.
And being afraid, according to what we're saying here on the show, is short of being in a state of total fear.
It is absolutely short of being in state. Okay. Otherwise, it would be called fear. Afraid, it is a prefix to it. Afraid is
fearful.
Has a
fearful.
I'm standing on this premise. Afraid.
You may be standing on the premise, but I'm just giving you another example of language where afraid, okay, well, fearful is a state. So that's fearful, full of fear.
But if you really think about it, and you really want to understand the subtleties of what words are and what they do to our thinking process, then you become very distinct and clear about the words that you use. Yes, people can say, well, I'm afraid we're going to have a war. Well, I fear we're going to have a war. The two words can be interchangeable. I understand that.
Yeah.
But the condition, the purity of the condition, it has to be, there has to be an established hierarchy you get to with fear until you actually reach that point to where fear becomes all caps and it becomes predominantly something that can overrule and overmeasure anything in the chakra system that would otherwise be working normally and sufficiently. So we're using that term as a model for how we control our chakra systems. We can say joy. Is joy the same as happy?
No.
We get into the idea of synonyms. And so, you know, synonyms, similes, comparisons, the words that imply the same meaning, but they don't. Joy and happy are actually two different things.
Definitely.
Oh, they are. Didn't explain it.
Happy, I would say joy is a more intense experience of elation than happy, which is a contented state. You know, there's a difference.
And that's my point.
Yeah, I got it.
Afraid and fear can be synonymous with joy and happy, but they qualify as cousins. They're like brother and sister, but they're still distinct.
Right. But I'm going to go back to the previous caller again and our own misuse of the word fear, irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
I would not qualify Amara as being in a state of fear. It's anxiety or
no.
She's afraid. So we ourselves misuse the term fear according to your definition. So anyway,
we all can.
This
we
is
have
fun,
an understanding.
Fun with words.
I remember Jimmy Cricket doing this on the Walt Disney Show. He was a little cricket that would give lessons otherwise than being just being Pinocchio. But that's not the point. The point is this. We abuse the language continuously.
We ourselves abuse the language.
And we say things that are somewhat vague. And that's okay if you're a poet or you're just trying to draw a certain conclusion.
But in terms of expressing what's going on within ourselves, if we use the wrong words, then it's going to be detrimental to our health,
correct,
mental health, well-being, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And it's very important because in trying to educate the public about chakras, not that we are the only ones that are doing it, by far we aren't, but
we're the only ones who are right. I'm just kidding.
As opposed to left.
Exactly. See another
discrepancy,
right,
between meaning.
Right.
But the
correct.
But I think it's crucial because whether we believe in chakra systems or not, we do know that there are divisions in the body. We know that the bowels are not the same as the sacral system. They're not the same as the stomach. They're not the same as the heart, the throat, the brain. We are aware that the body is a component of parts, that each governs a certain section of our existence. And our bodily existence, mental existence, physical existence. And so we are composed as human beings as compartments that all work in sync. So if we're trying to say that if we are based upon the premise that we are compartments working in sync, we also have to understand how one department affects the other. Look at the state of our world. The president says one thing and affects the whole world. And now the world's seems to be more chaotic and out of control, and it's what the tweets are, and what's now there's things about the tariffs and now Russia, they developed a missile. I mean, we're all in disarray because we're not working as a functional unit, and words are misused. Well, I got a bigger button than he has a button, you know, and so we use these words in such a way that it promotes a challenge that doesn't need to be there. And then what happens? Everything subsides and it's brought down to a level of coherency again. Same thing with the word boycott. The people are going to boycott something, and there's this great fever about it. And what happens with time and the measurement of experience and whatnot forthcoming? Boycotts seem to loosen.
They fade.
There's a fever.
Yeah.
There's a fever. So, you know, when we get into this idea of how even in the world, more or less individually, how the world operates because of the immediacy of a fear, as opposed to the immediacy maybe of some kind of apprehension or anxiety, which is a little bit more slow burning. But you don't need to even look at yourself. Pick up the newspaper and look at how much is discussed in regards to the word fear or anxiety. You know, it's all over the map. Now we use the word what? Existential fear. It's an existential situation, meaning that it's the
threatening
worst kind
our,
of lingering energy,
right, our very
without an outcome. But
life.
Existentialism is based upon the fact that actually we're in control. We, in other words, we don't live in a controlled universe. And existentially, we have the position of putting meaning into a senseless world. That's what the core issue is. And so it becomes a matter of when we look at our own bodies and we say, we're not really in control of our own bodies, but are we? Why? Because we have the commanding aspect of the sixth chakra, which even what is embedded in that chakra, the pineal gland. And that energy that got buried into our brains way back in time is still secreting energy continuously. Our inner being, our inner mind, our intuition is continuing secreting energy throughout our system that keeps us alive. But alive means that it also keeps us thinking. And how we produce and control our thinking is, of course, another existential matter of existence. We are in control of our thoughts. Otherwise, they can be run disarray and have no control.
So this is the first step to managing fear, is getting our brains balanced in terms of the way we think and respond to outer influences.
But it gives us the key to power. It tells us that we are not helpless, that we may say we are helpless. We may feel we are helpless. We may come up with all kinds of ideas and facts and figures promote the idea of helplessness.
Right.
But what?
Well, what I was going to say is some of us are going to be predisposed to managing our mental faculties better than others. I mean, some people will have, you know, many challenges just surely because of karma.
Yeah.
And they succumb to, you know.
Well, it's hard to compare, and it's hard to relate that everyone's uniform and everyone has the right to be powerful, given the facts that not everyone's going to be in the same position. Of course, there's going to be more challenging things. But the idea is this. You look at your own challenges and you start to deal with them. You don't deal with your challenges in comparison to somebody else unless you see that person as an inspiration. If you see a person as an inspiration who's had challenges, then of course it's a marked element of destiny that maybe you can fulfill your own challenges with some sense of accomplishment.
Right.
So in that regard, the thing that really is about fear, unless it's immediate and there's nothing you can do about it, is that it's controllable and definable along certain levels. And that's vastly important because remember, the commanding factor of the body is the brain. That's the key. That's where the key is. And us as a couple, we promote the idea of the pineal gland, the inner mind that secretes the outward energy. The deeper you go into the brain, the more you discover the meaning of life. And the more you discover the meaning of power. So I think that true psychics and intuitives, they thrive there. They thrive there because they gain and access information from that origin. And that's, I think, is the basis as how it's brought out to the public, who are more in doubt and more in apprehension. So they seek psychics and mystics and things like this in order to gain the answers that are locked within the brain of all of us. And that's what I think is the process of this idea of fear is. So as we go further into the element too, you know, a lot of times when we talk about this idea of fear, sometimes Chris and I will discuss when people call us or do readings, we analyze what chakra the fear is in. You know, it's important. A lot of people have sexual identity issues, relationship issues. Well, that's obvious, right? Some people have issues
losing their foundation,
their home.
Yeah.
That's the first chakra fear. It's always going to have a 6- something else. In other words, the brain
is
to either the first, second, third, fourth. Some people have everything's fine, but they have a bad heart and they're afraid of a heart attack and they're constantly thinking. They're putting energy into that fourth chakra. Now that fourth chakra in that case is overloaded. It's overloaded. I think that, you know, doctors will say, well, try to have a balanced life. You just, you know, try to start to do other things. And if so, what really doctors are saying, not medically, but metaphysically in our terminology, is that spread your chakras out, balance yourself, understand that not any one part of the body is meant to handle everything in life. Otherwise, you're going to be misusing your body and overcompensating, and something's going to bound to go wrong. That's why a lot of times even cancer spreads, God forbid, not just because it spreads, because it's a distortion and a malfunction of the cellular system, but that our brain actually promotes the progression of cancer in some regard.
Well, I think also, you know, what people do to cope with fear, you know, you're worried about a relationship and then you start eating or, you know, drinking because you can't cope with life. So exactly. Then you start to really complicate matters by involving multiple chakra systems. You're adding to the pot of
problems. That's
exactly problems.
True. Yes. So behaviorally, we our behavior patterns and what we do with our behavior does affect our inward environment. And so if our brain has to find something outside of ourselves to compensate for a lack of balance, and what we're reaching for is in itself an agent of disbalance or unbalanced energy, what do we expect to get? We make it a high. You know, if you drink, you get a high, but ultimately you're going to
come
from the results of that imbalance.
Right.
So,
because I mean, even in the case of having, you know, indulging in over drinking or something like that, you're going to come down from that high, aside from the long-term problems you're going to create in the chakra system. I mean, we're not saying don't have a drink,
no,
but in terms of escapism and drinking because you're trying to drown your problems, that's a different scenario
than
having
a physical manifestation that you use.
A drink occasionally, or
right.
Two drinks, or three drinks, or
but
whatever,
you know,
maybe.
When we get into the psychological side of that, we get into bipolar energy. And the idea that we have these highs and the lows, manic depression,
which
can
bipolar,
result
same thing,
in that
synonymous.
Zone. Now, maybe there is a chemical imbalance in the brain. There's a chemical imbalance. Think about that, because the brain is itself a unit.
Right, but that can be a karmic situation, a chemical imbalance in the brain, for sure.
What can be a karmic situation?
Environmental situation.
You know what? Because one of the most important aspects is our brain has chambers. Our brain is almost a replica of the entire human body, mm-hmm. because it controls so many departments of the human body itself.
We're running out of time, just to let you know. So we will continue this perhaps. I don't know what we're going to do on our next show, but tune in to find out. We're back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to callers and listeners for joining us. Remember to follow us, Neil and Kristen Baker on Facebook, Neil Baker Psychic on Facebook, and we're on Twitter too, and here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks. Have a great weekend.